Welcome to the latest episode in the Enterprise Times podcast series. My name is Ian Murphy, and my guest today is Emily Washington, Senior Vice President of Product Management at Precisely. Today we're going to be talking about the challenges of compliance and data. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Ian. Nice to be here. Just a little bit about myself. I lead product management here at Precisely. I focus on the spaces of data governance, data quality, and master data management. I've been working in the data space for about 20 years and really looking forward to the conversation here.
We hear about data and compliance all the time. What do organizations understand that it means for them?
We've seen a big shift in terms of compliance. We've been trying to address it for years. What's now increasingly becoming an issue is the speed in which we have to react to compliance. We have not only security issues, we have financial compliance and the other sorts of reporting aspects that are impacting data and people's use of data. A lot of what we're trying to address now is just how do we be more proactive in addressing compliance? That's our biggest concern right now.
For a lot of organizations, they think of compliance and data and they think of privacy law, GDPR, CCPA, other laws around the world. But actually, it's much more intrusive upon our data than that, isn't it?
It is. One of the things that I often hear is an organization, you automatically go into these issues thinking that it's GDPR or CCPA or all these privacy regulations. But one of the things that we struggle with is compounding that with you don't understand where that information lives or which data sets are actually impacted by that. So we spend even more time trying to figure out what data do we have to be concerned about when it comes to the privacy regulation. That opens up a whole host of process concerns, how individuals access data. This is a much bigger issue than just having that ability to respond to the regulations themselves. There's a lot more depth that goes into that than I think we originally all had anticipated.
One of the challenges of compliance that end users see is that it stops them accessing data. They are being told to get access to as much as they can because somewhere in there, they'll be able to find some new truth for the organization, or they'll be able to find an answer that senior management is looking for. Meanwhile, compliance teams are looking at compliance law and thinking, oh, that person shouldn't have access to that. How do we draw that line between what people need to do their jobs, what compliance says they should have to do their job, and what the business actually wants in order to do its job?
One of the areas that we focus on is regardless of where you live in the organization, frankly, you shouldn't have to care about the compliance aspect. A lot of what we should be able to present to you is secure data that you shouldn't have to worry about, should I be accessing this or not? But in reality, what is happening is there is so much data. There are so many ways to get access to that information. We want to make sure that the individuals across the organization do have that sensitivity to the systems that they're using and how they go about accessing the data. A lot of what we focus on is not just about making sure that the information is secure and the systems have the security measures in place, but also educating the organization on what they should be concerned about. We hear a lot about compliance programs, making sure you're training employees and how you go about educating what is accessible data, what is information that should be accessed. It's that combination of process, education, and systems that will really enable true compliance, and individuals should trust the data that they're ultimately accessing.
How often, in your experience, does data compliance get fed into data quality? With respect to a lot of organizations, they think of data quality much more as dirty data, incomplete data, and they spend a lot of time trying to clean for that. Data compliance, of course, has another significant impact on that.
I can tell you, especially over the past 5 to 10 years, we have seen compliance and data quality go hand in hand. Just recently, we partnered with LeBeau College of Business through Drexel University on a survey where we surveyed chief data officers and a number of organizations. The general consensus was when you think about data quality and data governance, we saw that 53% of those drivers were because of compliance. Obviously, at the end of the day, we want trusted data, but because of the compliance initiatives, that's a strong driver for why we need to improve data quality. Historically, data quality has been managed through the IT organization, ensuring that data is complete and accurate. And through the risk management and audit teams, you started to see some of those compliance issues needing to be addressed. What's now happening is this is an organizational-wide issue. These initiatives have increasingly come together, and that's why data governance is such a critical component to this now as well. So now you've got addressing compliance with data governance with data quality. It's a really interesting combination because at the end of the day, regardless of what data you're accessing, it should be governed. It should be of high quality, and the compliance would be in place as well.
Where does context in data come into this? Because a typical example of how we would strip out some of the risks in data is we'd star out fields in databases when people were doing a BI search, or we'd look at whether somebody was requesting personal information such as social security numbers or dates of birth. And if they weren't the right person, we'd provide that as obfuscated pieces of data. But context is designed to enrich that data. Does that become a risk for organizations?
Absolutely. You just mentioned social security number and address. Without the context, do you really know what you're looking at? When we talk about data governance programs, and I've worked with a lot of organizations where they're standing up data governance programs, and the first question you ask is, what is the highest impact data? When you are implementing governance, you want to start with the most critical data assets for security reasons. Information such as social security numbers, addresses, and so forth end up being a highly visible set of data that we need to make sure is secure. But regardless of that specific data element, you need to have that context. What system was that in? What actual customer, when I'm on the phone in customer support talking to someone, am I looking at that person's data? So the context becomes of ultimate importance in all of this. And this is where, data governance continues to bubble up as a key priority, because that enables you to really rally the organization around coming up with those common definitions or assigning ownership of who ultimately is responsible for making sure that individuals know the data that they're looking at has the right context.
One of the ways that we improve data context is machine learning and AI. We do this as a one-off process. We go through, we deal with our data. We bring in our ML and our AI programs, and we allow that to take our data. In fact, we allow that to take data from multiple data sets that otherwise people wouldn't have access to, and bring that together and present a curated set of data to the individual. But how do we make sure that that ML AI is working within the controls of our compliance?
Right. And that's where the upfront data preparation activities really come into play. The algorithms themselves are dependent on the data sources that are feeding those algorithms. Our best practices and what we recommend is really focused on the input sources that we're going to feed the AI and ML, making sure that it is of high quality, that we are obfuscating where needed. Because then on the back end of that process, when you're assessing the results of those analytics, you know what the lineage of that data was. From a compliance perspective, you want those controls in place to make sure that you're able to prove, especially from an audit standpoint, that you have those checks in place and you're able to map to the results of what controls were applied as you're implementing the AI and ML.
Data is a living thing. It changes. It's constantly in flux. A lot of data quality programs over the years have been more about, here's a job we have to do. Here's the bits of data we think feed into that job. Let's go to that data, clean that data up, and provide it for the job. But that is never then fed back into our data pool. And the next time we have a job, we go back and we start the whole process again. Compliance argues for a continuous data assessment, not one-off approaches. Are you seeing greater maturity from both tools and customers to do that in a continuous fashion, or is there still one-off approaches?
I'm going to say it's both. From a tooling standpoint, we are absolutely making progress towards being more proactive in how you apply the controls, data quality rules, and the compliance measures. I have seen many organizations that are highly mature in how they go about doing that. The biggest challenge is one of the things you mentioned as far as you apply it and then you realize what the results are. It either works for that time period or you're continually improving. One of the things we encourage from a process standpoint is you bake that into your process as well. I often see we'll apply data quality rules, for example, once it starts to run, it's kind of set it and forget about it. What we want to be able to do is take the results of those rules, continue to monitor any anomalies, and actually recommend what is the next best action. And that's where I think the tools can really help with that. But the level of maturity that we see in organizations, I still see more often than not, just that baseline, I just need to get the initial rules in place. From a compliance standpoint, what often happens is it's very reactive. Something bubbles up in an audit or a report has incorrect information, and then that's where you have to focus your energy to implement new rules. There's so many of those issues across the organization, it's still quite difficult to get ahead of that, to be more proactive. I'm really encouraged by data quality programs are increasingly proactive. The importance of data quality continues to be elevated across the organization so that more folks understand the importance of data integrity and how all these components fit together. When it comes to analytics initiatives, data transformation programs that we're seeing being implemented, data quality is front and center, and compliance regulations are informing what needs to be in place. So every new system you're implementing or every new process, you have that continuous feedback loop built into what you're doing, but it isn't such a manual effort. You're not reacting to issues that pop up that may be unexpected.
How often does this get fed back into the full data lifecycle? It's easy to look at process. It's easy to look at the results we get when we've cleaned some data. But the area that often gets missed out is that initial data capture, that initial data storage as far as the integrity and quality of data is concerned. Are companies beginning to realize they've got to go all the way back to that initial data entry form if they want to have data quality, or are they still finding an insertion point at which point they will clean the data rather than sort out their capture?
That's a good question, and it's something that I see a lot. There's two situations where I start to work with an organization. The first one is something bad happened to my data and I need to fix it. And that's the insertion point. Usually it's a bit further downstream and I need to solve the problem there. What ends up happening is when you implement the compliance controls or the data quality rules at that point, you start to uncover an issue upstream. We always recommend the further upstream you can apply those controls, the less impact there is going to be across your systems and processes as the information flows. The other class of organization that I see are those that are being proactive, especially around implementing cloud migrations. We're seeing a lot more in terms of standing up a cloud environment, preparing for analytics programs. What I'm encouraged by is these organizations are thinking about those elements as they're starting their journey to migrate information. Those controls are being put into place at the time of implementation so that you already are set up at the beginning. We're increasingly seeing that if you're implementing streaming sources or your Snowflake or Databricks environment, any sort of newer technology that's being implemented, we're now increasingly seeing organizations implementing data quality as a part of that.
What about data enrichment? Here's a challenge that we have in the organization. 10, 15 years ago, we would only have enriched that data just before it was going to be used. Today, we're starting to realize that data as it stands often misses the mark. We need to be enriching it earlier. So we buy in a lot of sources from a lot of places, and that gives us an opportunity to clean the data. But how do we apply compliance controls to data that we're bringing in, that third-party data?
That's something that we see a lot in terms of when we're enriching data. We always recommend, like I mentioned before, the further upstream in your processes that you can apply data quality or compliance measures, the better off you're going to be. At some level, can't trust any data, right? If you have that mindset from a compliance standpoint, third-party data sources that you're leveraging, we recommend apply those controls to those sources before you start to enrich your environment. if for no other reason, just to check that that information is accurate for your purposes. And then from there, as you enrich, your confidence continues to build. Third-party data sources get applied at various levels, at various points. We talk a lot about data lineage, and enrichment at every step should be applied. To your point, it historically had been much further downstream. Now we're seeing much earlier on in these processes that enrichment plays a part. In fact, I was just talking to our teams a couple of weeks ago about data integration capabilities and enriching those data sources when replicating data from one environment to the next is something that we're starting to see more of. When you're starting to move data, when you are replicating to a different environment, enriching data at that point provides a lot of value. You want those third-party data sources that you're leveraging to be able to meet all of the compliance requirements that you're expecting. And at some level, the third parties do a great job of providing that layer, but you apply the same compliance measures that you would do for any other internal source to your third-party data before you start enriching, just to give yourself that confidence.
For users who are simply creating reports, we tend to serve up that data to them as if it's a meal in a restaurant. We take all the components, all that third-party data, all the different data sources we have internally, we prep it and we hand it to them. But organizations are changing. Their approach to analytics is changing. They now want the user to go and find those sources and engage with those third parties. We've moved the user from the dining room table into the kitchen. How do we get education around compliance? Because that's a tough thing for users to get their head around when at the same time they're being told they've got to find and analyze and understand data that often they don't.
One of the things that is really critical to all of this is the metadata management aspect. There's so much good information that sits within the metadata that can enhance how those users access and understand the data that they are looking at. Regardless if they are in a green field being able to explore a data source that they have access to, or the report that you mentioned, if a user is accessing a report, in either scenario, they should be able to have the context. Earlier, we talked about business context. What other information can we serve up as they're accessing the data to flag right there on the screen for them? Be careful, there's sensitive data here. Or if you want to share that report with another person, there should be a control in place that ensures that that person that you want to share your report with has access to the underlying data. That's where being able to blend the data sources that you're able to access with the metadata and the additional context that that can bring really helps enhance everyone's awareness of what compliance means for them personally. Because at the end of the day, we don't understand all the rules and regulations of GDPR and all the nuances that go into these regulations. There's some folks, that's what they are focused on. But for the business users who are accessing their report to do their day-to-day job, they should know that there is sensitive data, or they should not access, or they should not give access to someone else. We want to give them different controls to be able to do that. When they're exploring the data sources, same thing. When you're doing your ad hoc analysis, when you're able to work with different data sets, we want to make sure that you're able to have that auditability, that traceability, that ability to share with others in a safe way.
One challenge for data security and one of the challenges for compliance is how is the user consuming that data? Where are they storing it when they're doing their work? When they're in the office, we can at least protect those machines if we own them. The problem is we've moved to a bring your own device world. And over the last 2 years, we've moved to a go and work in your home office world, where we have little insight and little control over those machines, what data the user might be pulling down. What have been the implications that you've seen of remote working on data security and, in particular, data compliance?
It's presented a lot of challenges. I've actually seen this as a positive. One of the things that we've been working towards for many years is how do we improve the security of data, especially with different types of source systems and where those sources live. I actually believe that this movement towards work from home has actually accelerated our ability to do that. It's forced us all to be more sensitive to the information that we're accessing. I'm now fully work from home. I was in an office full time. And one of the things that I've noticed I'm more sensitive to is when I log into my system, I am on VPN. I'm just more aware when I'm logging into my different sources, am I hooked into our company's network? A lot of the things that we've been able to do from an end user standpoint, as well as the IT organizations, the security teams, be able to implement these programs to be able to help increase the security around these data sets. I've actually seen a lot of momentum, a lot of customers that I work with. It's not as much of a concern from that standpoint as I think we initially were when we started to work from home. Accelerated a lot of awareness around the importance of security, the importance of data governance, even data quality management, all those things. When I'm working with data, I want to make sure that we're doing this in a safe way. From my perspective, this has been a great shift, nice forcing function.
What about collaboration? In the office, we'd talk to somebody, we wouldn't give them a set of the data, we wouldn't share the data with them. It would be a conversation, we'd sit in a meeting and make a quick presentation of some small part of data. With everybody working remotely, there's been a tendency to do more sharing of that data, which in itself raises challenges around compliance, access rights, security, privacy, all those things. Have you seen organizations review their processes to try and understand what the implications of collaboration really are on the data, or have they been more about making sure users have the tools to do their jobs remotely?
I think it's both. From a process standpoint, one of the things we always joke about is just being on video every day, having those meetings. We're constantly looking for ways to collaborate online. If we can be much more agile in how we're all working together and collaborating, that's where the tools I've seen have just made strides, especially over the past couple of years, on enhancing collaboration. How do you build more discussions and those sorts of things into the data that you're accessing? But to your point, that does introduce concerns about security. That's where the tools themselves, going back to what I was mentioning before, working from home, we are so reliant on the tools that we're using. Our ability to put some of those checks and balances in place in each of the tools is really helping us ensure that security. In some ways, think about how we used to do things. We used to have our spreadsheets and documents on our desktops, and you would either flash it up when someone's walking by your desk or those sorts of things. We're forced to work collaboratively in these tools, and that enables us to put more of the security measures in place because we're all working off of the same systems. We're using our corporate networks and those sorts of things in a more collaborative way. And that's actually enabled us to be able to enforce some of those security policies. When we were in an office, we didn't have that much control. We were able to do things with more paper and could show someone a report at your desk. That's not as secure as all logging into the same tool and collaborating on that data, in that same data set. We have the auditability and the traceability in terms of the access.
It's interesting. I wonder how many security teams, how many data teams realize that this has given them an opportunity to be better with compliance controls.
Absolutely. We're able to be more proactive in this. It's easy, at least from my perspective and who I've been working with, it's a lot easier to react to more specific areas of improvement. We always struggle with the blank slate. Where do you start? We often hear that around data governance programs. When you're starting some of these more proactive programs, I often get the question of, I don't know where to start. If I'm going to implement an enterprise-wide data governance program or compliance policy, how do I get going? There's so much data and there are so many people trying to access it. We always recommend just focus on one key area. What is that one area of compliance that you're particularly concerned about, or that one report that you just need to make sure is locked down? Start there to implement those best practices, and then you take that to the next area. I often see organizations trying to boil the ocean, and then that really slows things down. There's incremental ways to do that. And again, the work from home, the tool access, this has really helped us to zero in on certain areas where we needed to focus to quickly get priorities in place and be able to work towards that common goal.
You mentioned earlier that you'd done this report with Lebeau. What were the things that came out of that that struck you the most?
I'm always fascinated by just collecting the survey data. I can talk to customers all day long, but one of the things that struck me the most about the survey results that came back from that is that common goal of wanting to improve the trust of the data. I know the bulk of this conversation has been focused on compliance. That is a critical driver. The report cited 53% of organizations' compliance is that primary driver. But one of the things that I'm encouraged by is there's more proactive thinking around how to implement trust in data. It's not just compliance. It's just making sure that I feel confident in the data that I'm looking at, because I want to report the right information. I want to make better business decisions off of that information. The fact that we have surveyed all these folks and that common goal of just overall trust in data and improving that is something that was really encouraging. Increasingly, it's becoming more proactive, whereas historically, especially when you think about data governance and data quality, it was reactive. Frankly, a lot of compliance drove that. We saw a lot more of industries such as financial services, insurance, telecommunications, highly regulated industries. Now we're seeing it across the board. That was another thing that came through in this report. We surveyed many different industries, and the drivers, the goals, were very similar across all industries. It's interesting to see how those two initiatives are coming together, data governance and data quality, and how all industries are working towards that common goal of trust.
So this is the point where I put all of my interviewees on the spot. You're stood in a room, which we all hope to be doing soon, talking to a group of people about what it is they want to get started to do. And you've kind of answered part of this already, but what are the top three things businesses need to do to ensure better data compliance?
First and foremost, document the policies. I feel like that's a no-brainer. And I feel like organizations do that, but without having that guideline, that framework for all of us to execute against, nothing else is going to come easy, right? Documented policies, making sure that those are easily accessible to the organization. That's table stakes. You have to do that, but it's in order to enable my next one, which is removing the roadblocks. You mentioned a couple of times users having that concern about compliance. How do we make sure that they feel comfortable working with data? One of the things that we want to do is make data accessible to everyone. We want to make it easy. We want it to be quick. We want it to be accurate. And we want it to be fit for purpose for those individual users. So how can we keep removing roadblocks to allow them to do that and to do that in a compliant fashion? That includes everything from the processes you implement to the tooling to knowing who to go to. A lot of the context that we talk about is just the ownership and the linkages between the systems and the compliance policies that are impacted. The third one, which we touched on earlier, was that continuous feedback loop. It's one thing to implement, and it's one thing to make sure that the organization understands the impact to compliance and to be sensitive to it. But how do we help the organization continue to improve? The regulations are constantly changing. The systems are constantly changing. What we were chatting about earlier is critical to this whole process. How do we build automation into that improvement, enabling users to be able to report things in an easy way and can quickly react to it, allow individuals to be able to access their data, look for anomalies, and be able to recommend areas of improvement, not just for compliance, but for the data trust more generally. Those would be my top three.
I live in hope is that organizations are going to get better at no-fault reporting, from data security to cybersecurity. At the moment, we still have that concern amongst a lot of users. If they report something, there will be some payback for them actually highlighting a failure. If organizations want to improve things going forwards, there's got to be a more open and more relaxed conversation, because that encourages people to open up, encourages people to point things out, and then you can fix it.
100%. I used to hear this around data quality too. It's not just because of an audit. You don't want to get in trouble for accessing data or reporting the incorrect information, but you want to be able to contribute to the improvement of it. this is going to be a constant challenge. There is no easy button to make sure that data is secure, that everyone understands what the policies are, but we should all be working together in every area of the organization to contribute to the improvement of it. I see a lot more of that. Silos are getting broken down through programs like data governance. Collaboration is 100% improving. It's amazing the types of collaborative conversations I'm now having with organizations across IT and the areas of the business to genuinely want to work together to figure out how we can improve the access, the understanding of data, making sure it's accurate. I love this space. Just getting control over data is something that you do it right, and you can get all kinds of insights out of data. So how do you make it as easy as possible?
Easy as possible. There's a great takeaway. Emily, thank you for talking with me.
My pleasure. This was a great conversation. Happy to do it.